KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Stand
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host today. And we're sponsored by North State Consultants, the best tax prep and consultants in the business. Their telephone number is 530-221-0101. And consultations are by appointment only. We'd like to let you listeners know out there that we do need some sponsors, and if you want to advertise or keep this show on the air, if you'd call 530-221-0101, you know, we'd like really appreciate your help. So you're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Today is July 28th, 2012. My name is Mark Kennigan, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And Rachel, our trusted soundboard operator and an all-around good gal.
Good morning. it's hard to say that, I know. It's okay.
No, that's not it. Well, while we're talking to you, Rachel, you have a show on Sundays, don't you?
I do, and it's called The Kitchen Sink. It's not a cooking show, even though the moniker is The Kitchen Sink. It's just a show about everything. It's on at 4, and we have tickets tomorrow. We'll have the Sons of Italy. You can get tickets to Paisano Days, and also to the 4 and 20 Blackbird Festival in Weed, August 4th and 5th. We'll be giving away tons of weekend passes for that.
All right, great.
I just want you to know I'm afraid of the kitchen sink.
Me too. That's why I named my show that.
Yeah,
we know.
That's where dishes lurk.
Yeah, I don't do dishes. No. Thanks, guys.
Boy. Okay, let's see. Where are we at here? You can call in. The chat room's open. Call in at 530-605-4567 in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Go to where it says live, and then if you want to listen, you need to click on the gray bar below the listen live and type your name in and become a part of the chat pack, I guess is what they call it.
The chat pack.
Yeah, so. Anyway, let's see. We got a great guest on today. We've got Mike Zullo from Sheriff Arpaio's Cold Case and Posse. They've been investigating the ongoing forgery of documents involved with Barack Obama's credentials, his life story that nobody knows anything about because he's the most mysterious president in the history of our country. Nobody knows school records, really can't prove his
birth. Yeah, and if it wasn't such a problem, why don't they just produce the records for us? So Mike's going to help us out.
Who knows? He might be the Mongolian candidate. Oh, or was it the Manchurian candidate?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody else.
We'll leave the Mongolian alone.
The Mongolian candidate. Yeah, we've got the chat room. The birther stuff is a distraction, except that it's not about the birther stuff anymore. It's about forged documents, criminally forged documents, which would include the birth certificate, but not excluding his selective service record,
Social Security
numbers wrong. It's not about where he's born. This is about criminal forgery of government documents. And why? To say that you're not interested in criminal forgery of the president's documentation, you have to ask yourself why. Why would anybody want to forge a birth certificate for the president? Why would he not release all of his college records? Why would he not? Why would he have a Social Security number that seems to be somebody else's? Why would he have a forged selective service registration card? Just saying, Oh, that might be a distraction to some people, but to other people, we want to know who this guy really is. I mean, just because the media doesn't report anything anymore.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so anyway.
And they want everybody else to divulge all their information.
Yeah, and part of that, and we also get is, I'd rather focus on a police state and a fascist economy. Well, if we've got an illegal president in office, does that not go to that? If this guy is not who he says he is, if this guy is a Manchurian candidate, wouldn't we want to be able to prove that and put him out of office, which would end the police state and fascist economy? Because this guy could be criminally charged with a lot of this stuff. So, anyway, he's I see he's got Frank Marshall. We'll go into that. I don't want to get too far into it. But I like the fact that you're getting involved in the chat room. So, first quote is, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. So, we want you to go to the website. You can get there from 1460.com, Sovereign Minds. You need to be invited in order to become a member, but that's easy to do. And where are we at here? Economic updates. Okay, let's do that. We got Mike coming on at 15, so we got a couple of minutes. Here's the first article I have. 4.56 million Americans, record 222.3 million households on food stamps, and 8,753,000 and some change on disability. So if you're not on food stamps, you're on disability.
In order to get disability, you got to be on food stamps.
Yeah, which
too.
Means that you know, there's actually more people applying for disability now than they are applying for jobs. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You think there might be a little bit of a problem going on here?
Yeah, I think there's something else. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up too before we get Mike on is cities are going bankrupt across the nation. Oakland is the next one on the list. And, people don't seem to realize how what's going on across the country, how
bad it's going to get.
Yeah, exactly. How close to the edge of the cliff we are, I guess, is the best way to put it. And this is going to contagion across California. I mean, you've got Vallejo already filed. You got Mammoth Lakes. You've got Compton. San Bernardino, Stockton, and now Oakland is fighting off Goldman Sachs. Now you have to ask yourself, in order to stay out of bankruptcy, why would they be fighting off Goldman Sachs? Maybe you need to do a little homework on that one, because when you understand, you know, why they're going bankrupt because of Goldman Sachs, you start to understand things about bonds and bond bubbles.
And again, there's that Goldman Sachs.
They don't call Goldman Sachs the squid for nothing, and J.P. Morgan the morgue either for nothing. So. Yeah, the hits keep coming in, and, we need to start thinking about, are we going to depend on government for our salvation, or are we going to start depending on ourselves? If you're not actively getting self-reliant, I think you are
really in trouble. Let's say that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Gotta hold back there because it's like.
Yeah, Rachel's already on the button over there, so we gotta be careful.
I don't want to sound like Dr. Smith either. We're doomed! We're doomed!
But folks, you need to really get involved, or we are.
Yeah, we really want to get involved. But,
Tank. Which most of us do that anyhow.
They printed a story last week saying now from the New York Times that they have to, all of the major news places are now submitting their stories for approval
through the White House.
Through the White House and government offices so that they don't run stories unfavorable. I mean, this Arpaio thing is a classic example of, freedom of the press and no longer existing in the mainstream media. And that is one of the big issues too, because if you've got government control of all your news outlets, guess what? That's a bigger problem than the news that they're trying to report.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, we have a criminal treasonous organization, in the government at this point, and we need to get rid of these guys. Not just by the vote. When you start talking criminal, we're talking,
above the law. Yeah, they need to be held to the fire just as much as anybody else would do.
Yeah, I don't just want them out of office. I want them prosecuted.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. Anyway, I think we got a minute before we go to a break here. Anybody got anything to say? I won't respond to that in the chat room.
Yeah. On a different subject, I wanted to let people know there's an organization here in Reading called Families Honoring Our Troops. And they have a Gulf War era monument down at the library.
Oh, good.
So if
Sorry,
you know anybody that needs to get on the wall, you can call contact Jean at 549-3057. And this is free. So help the ladies out down there, getting people that have served the country in this Gulf War. And support them.
I'm sorry. I should have brought let you have veterans.
Oh, that's okay. I just thought I'd change the subject before we really got going hot and heavy here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about our guest. I can't even because I've been really into this and doing the research. I've been researching Fast and Furious here lately, and there's some stuff in these affidavits now. And I've been going into the House of Representatives website there, and they actually have a place where you can research all the paperwork on Fast and Furious, and pretty interesting stuff. I mean, if you think this doesn't go all the way to the top. My only question is what is going to be we got all these smoking guns. I want to know which one's going to give the bullet, which one's actually going to shoot, So anyway, I think we're ready for a break now.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect. Even if you need them after hours, they still treat every customer the old-fashioned way with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
For nearly 20 years, SCVAC, the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, has recognized individuals and groups for outstanding advocacy efforts for our veterans. The 2012 CVAC Awards Banquet is this Saturday, July 28th, at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Reading, with social hour at 5 p.m. and a dinner and program starting at 6. A roast beef and chicken dinner will be prepared by Rob Burrows of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center and is included with your $12 ticket. Entertainment for this special evening, saluting our veterans and those who advocate for them, includes a brand new song by local musician Chris McCandless. You're invited to attend this special event this Saturday evening at the Reading Vets Hall. Tickets are available by calling CVAC President Julie Clausen at 241-4126 or stop by the Shasta County Veterans Service Office on Shasta Street in Reading.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460.
There's some kind of mistake going on
misunderstanding, and we're not the ones making it.
We're just trying to clear all the,
all the fog, all the smoke. As the sheriff says, there's a lot of smoke here.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Absolutely. I think we've got Mike on the line. How you doing, Mike? You there?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are, we're doing great. You know,
we're so glad to have you on and helping us out here.
Yeah, we've been trying to get you for weeks, and we know you've been really super busy because this investigation seems to have a lot of legs.
A lot of legs, and like the sheriff said, the smoke is turning into a forest fire.
Yeah, and so maybe you can kind of give us an update, and I would also like for your opinion on why do you think this is so important? I mean, we get a lot of flack that, oh, we're distracting from the real issues and that kind of thing, but to me, this is a real issue. I mean, this is a criminal act of somebody on these forged documents, and where do we go? But anyway, I want your opinion on why you think this is so serious, and then an update.
Well, you know, let's be, you know, really real and forthright about this. This is the biggest fraud ever perpetrated against a mass population in the United States. It's a fraud perpetrated against the entire country. This administration has put out a document trying to convince the masses that this is proof positive of an individual's birth. And this is anything but proof positive of an individual's birth. And as a matter of fact, it goes so far to say that the document provided was manufactured for that purpose. And if that isn't something that's alarming, if that isn't something that should be or shouldn't be talked about, I don't know why we spend money to investigate steroids and baseballs and hookers for the Secret Service.
Yeah, with all
money on everything.
You think
else.
Our priorities might be a little off there, Mike?
I think the priority is a little off, and I also think that the fix is in. I mean, when you have, I mean, we're not talking about a couple hundred thousand people complaining about this certificate. We have millions of people up in arms over this certificate, and their cries go to deaf ears.
Yeah.
And when your elected officials refuse to take on a subject like this, I mean, you have to think about that and go, who am I voting into these offices? They're certainly not representing my interests.
Yeah, and why? You know, I mean, is this the big money, guys? I mean, I think this goes to the sound money issue myself and into the banking and into the Federal Reserve because it takes a lot of money to buy all these people or the media, you know, and so forth because this is not a mistake. I mean, you can't have this big of a blackout, a concerted effort without there being some kind of something behind that. So it's just incredible to me.
Well, and you're right, and it's a scary situation. I mean, we delivered our second press conference, and the media attacks against myself and the sheriff, again, are vicious. They don't talk about what we present. They try to do anything they can to devoid us of any credibility. And it's an orchestrated event.
Absolutely.
So you have to really start asking yourself, what, just like you said, what is behind it? And I think you keyed in on something. I think you've got, you know, criminal takeovers of our economic system through the fraudulent banking, and that's starting to get exposed.
Yep.
With HSBC, and there's going to be others now.
Well, the LIBOR issue is going to be huge, and it's not going away. That is part of this, but I don't want to get too far off the track. I kind of want to stick onto the investigation here, so. But yeah. So anyway, give us an update on where we're at. You just did the last press conference, and you came out with some bombshell new information as far
controversy that we went there. We came back from Hawaii, even though we were stonewalled. We had a wealth of information that we developed, and through the stonewalling effort, actually put it into a direction that we were fortunate to get some information that previously hadn't been disclosed. In addition to that, we were successful in tracking down maybe the only living person other than Barack Obama to have ever handled that birth certificate back in 1961. And her name was Verna Lee. She's on the bottom of the document as the registrar who accepted the document into the Department of Health. Her initials looked so to be UK Lee, and that threw everybody off for a long time. But we actually found her. She's 95 years old, if you can believe it, according to the information we got. And we contacted her, and she's an amazingly sharp individual. And she showed us the way that the birth certificate, I should say told us the way that the birth certificate was handled back then. And what we discovered was on the document there had always been these little pencil coatings that we really didn't know what they meant. We knew they were for some purpose, but there were especially two that were interesting to us. There was a number 9. In the book next to the father's, in the box next to the father's race, and a number 9 next to the father's type of business or employment, which it says university, but it has a number 9 next to it. So we knew it was some kind of coding. She confirmed to us that what those are were statistical codings required by the federal and state authorities for census purposes. We come to discover that number 9, from all indications, signifies that information was not stated at the time the document was filled out. So if you have information not stated, that box should be blank. There shouldn't be information in the box.
And that's there's no way to do that as an error. Then is that true as well?
There is not a way to do it as an error because we understand from Verna Lee that these documents were scrutinized twice. They were taken into the Department of Health, and the clerk there would check the document for its accuracy as far as the information that they required, and then it was hand coded, and then the document was taken to another clerk who would check it again for accuracy and verify the coding. And then it was passed off to Verna Lee, who would sign it, date it, and accept it into the Department of Health Vital Statistics in Hawaii. So it's highly unlikely that you would have two individuals, and this is back in the 1960s where people cared about what they did. And when you look at that and say two people looked at this, highly unlikely that two people would allow that to pass through like that. So it's become very, very suspicious to us. But it also puts the document in conflict with itself on its face. Because if the number 9 coding means what we believe it means, and you have information in a box, you have to start asking yourself, how did the information get there? When did the information get there? The other thing we discovered in securing documents was that the term African for race was not used by the federal government. It was either black or Negro. African is not a race identifier. So the word African in there now becomes suspect to us. And when was this placed in there? On top of that, those same fields were identified by us in our previous press conference and investigation as looking to be fields that were tampered with. So yeah. We're starting to really come to the conclusion here that the document, for all intents and purposes, was fraudulently created now, not just manipulated.
Well, you know, it kind of goes to a couple of things if you think about it. You know, when you think about this document, if that's the case, then you come to, I come to one of two conclusions. I come to either that they are really sloppy in their work and they don't do their homework, or they're so arrogant that they didn't think anybody would challenge this at all.
I think it's a combination of the two. I think you hit it on the head. I think they are that arrogant. Here's what they know and what the public doesn't understand. State of Hawaii, they're issuing a birth certificate to an individual for whatever legal purpose that individual may need it for. But by their own statute, that document is prima facie evidence. And prima facie evidence, by definition, means evidence taken at face value. But yeah. If you look further into what the definition of prima facie evidence is, it's evidence taken at first value or first blush, but requires further investigation to determine validity.
More evidence to back it up. It on itself does
exactly.
not stand. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we've been trying to do in this investigation, and we can't find anything to back it up.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem to be.
And then you also have to ask yourself why. Why would anybody want to forge all this stuff? You know, we're getting it's just how far down the rabbit hole does this go? I mean, are we dealing with a Manchurian candidate here?
Or why is his the only one that there's so much problem with?
Yeah,
you guys looked at other birth certificates, correct, prior to his birth and after, and there's no problem, only with his.
Well, and it's every document surrounding his. And the question that you just raised, why would somebody do this? There's only one thing you're trying to conceal, and it's the place of birth. It's nothing else.
Right.
And we can go back and see the way that this document, and I don't want to call it a document because that's doing it too much justice. It's an electronic file. It was created in cyberspace. And somebody created this because somebody made a mistake. They first said he was born in Queens Hospital. Queens Hospital said, we have no record of him being here, so they pawned it off to Kapolani. Kapolani doesn't have any information of him being there either.
Listen,
and
Mike.
We went there.
Listen, Mike, we got to go to a quick break. Hold that, and I want to talk some more about this Hawaii law and stuff and
sure.
in the hospitals. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Mountain is high, the valley is low, and you're confused. Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This week's discussion involves the U.S. Forest Service's management, or lack thereof, of our federal forest land. We'll welcome three members of the National Institute for the Elimination of Catastrophic Wildfire. Executive Director Larry Alexander, Board Chair Bruce Courtwright, and Ray Haupt join us on We the People, heard Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Come join the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Celebrate summer, celebrate life, enjoy good friends, good food, and good wine for the first annual Wine and Dine at Bernsini Vineyard. All proceeds benefit the Northern California Veterans Museum for the new Liberty Park to be located at the Redding Municipal Airport. Tickets are $35 each. You can call the museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Come join us for a great evening and for a great cause.
Saturday, August 4th, call 378-2280 for tickets.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've changed my Saturday show, Positively Healthy, to include more local chiropractors. Listen to Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, Dr. Maria Salas, and me. We're on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Be listening to Positively Healthy, and you might just learn something that could change your life. Again, that's Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Issues, and there's a bunch of them, so you know we need to attack every one of these things. Anyway, let's get back to Mike here, and let's keep talking about this Hawaiian anomaly in the law, where they actually have a statute that says that it's just fine to register somebody and get a live birth certificate whether they're born in the country or not.
Yeah, it was amazing to us. You know, in 1961 they had a liberal policy, in a sense, where a parent or relative of an individual could go in and prove that the parents resided in Hawaii or the United States, for that matter, and for some unforeseen event like a military birth or going out for employment, they could register the birth in the state of Hawaii. Well, that law was getting abused, and what was happening is foreign individuals, especially from Japan, were registering births in the United States that had no prior residency in the state of Hawaii. Well, the state of Hawaii, we discovered a letter in 1982 that indicated that through their legislative process, they made that law even broader. And what it says is that now any individual, doesn't even have to be a relative, any individual could go in and make a representation that prior to 1 year before a birth event, if they can prove that the parents of a child were residing, legal residence, and that's an important phrase, legal residence in the state of Hawaii and paid income tax, they could register the birth of a child, a minor child, from anywhere in the world. Now, legal residency for tax purpose means legally domiciled. In other words, you pay rent or you have a house. They're saying that you can now come into the state of Hawaii with a rent stub and a tax return, prove that the parents were residents, not citizens of the United States, residents, and get a birth certificate for a child. On top of that, the law is so vague that it makes the, gives the ability for an adult to go in and declare himself as being a citizen of the United States through that very same process.
What's the possible rationale behind that? I mean, who? I mean,
money.
Money. So it was bringing people in for money. How would that be
federal.
A money? Federal. Oh.
Federal money.
Oh, I see. So they would have a population increase to get more grants for social services?
Grants, federal funding for Medicare, you know, hospitalization coverages, all kinds of highway improvements, all kinds of stuff. And it was done for the dollars. And in this letter, was from then the director of the Department of Health to a congressman, and he addresses the letter, and he says in the letter that this new law would allow anyone, it's his words, would allow anyone to come in and register birth anywhere in the world. While he supports the law, he also is concerned about the overrun now of registered birth certificates and the financial impact it would have on his department because they wouldn't be set up to handle it.
Wow.
That's shocking.
I can't believe
it. The other
thing
that makes it even worse is it flies in the face of federal immigration and naturalization law. Hawaii is making citizens by giving them that document.
Yeah, I mean, that completely circumvents the constitutional requirements of being a citizen.
It absolutely does. And that document, and I said this to the sheriff when we found it, I said, Sheriff, if somebody was an applicant for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and they came to Sheriff Arpaio and said, here, I was born in Hawaii and presents you that birth certificate, you're going to automatically assume, and rightfully so, that that individual is a United States citizen because this is supposed to be a sacred process. Well, you can't do that anymore in the state of Hawaii because the state of Hawaii has an ability to create citizens, circumvent federal law, and it goes one step further. They also have a mechanism where an individual, the registrant, the person who's named on the birth certificate, can go in and amend his own birth certificate. Now, in other words, he can go in with documentation, be it an affidavit from somebody, a physician's affidavit, some kind of document, and say, you know, take Daddy A off of this because it was Daddy B was my father, and here's the proof. You can change the certificate. You can change where you were born. You can change the name on a certificate. You can make all kinds of changes to these documents. And once that's done, if that document has been amended in any fashion, according to Hawaii law, it loses its prima facie evidentiary value. In other words, the document can no longer be relied on. And in Hawaii, once it's been amended or altered, they have to produce a document for you, but on the bottom of it, it is marked altered by their own statute. That's advising everyone you can no longer take this for granted because we've just gotten information, but we're not sourcing the information. And we're beginning to believe that possibly that's the situation around this phony file. Because if Mr. Obama's birth certificate was amended and perhaps prior, and this is a theory now, just let me be clear about this. I don't have evidence to support this, but evidence is pointing us in this direction. If this was amended, possibly with an affidavit before his grandmother in Hawaii passed away, saying that he was born at Kapalani, that Barack Obama Sr. was indeed the father, and maybe amended some other information on it, they could not produce a birth certificate without the word altered on the bottom. Now, that birth certificate was missing for months that we know of. Abercrombie, the governor, said he couldn't find it. All of a sudden it materializes. And then what do? The Department of Health takes two photocopies of the document, sticks them in an envelope, and hands them off to an attorney from Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie picks it up. No one knows what's in that envelope. No one's ever seen what's in that envelope. And next thing you know, we have a PDF file. During our time in Hawaii, we went down to the Department of Health, and we wanted to speak to Mr. Onaka, the state register, with a simple question. Sir, did you validate this document? We were told, before they called the police on us, we were told by a deputy attorney general, that was the only person that would speak with us, that Mr. Onaka doesn't speak to the public. So we started to ask her some questions. And I laid out a scenario for her. I held up the document. I said, can you tell me, is this at least the document that you people produced and put in the envelope for Perkins Coie? She refused to answer, hiding behind a state statute, saying, you're asking me to give you a validation of a document. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm asking, is this the document that you already validated and gave to Perkins Coie? She refused to answer. So I gave her another scenario. I asked her, I said, if I had to produce my driver's license to you for whatever reason and the public needed to see it, you scan my driver's license into a computer, but you make some changes on it. Maybe you change a little information here, change a date over there, and then you release that driver's license over the internet for the public to see, to satisfy them for whatever requirements. I go, has the public seen my document, my driver's license? She says to me, but you still have a driver's license.
Unbelievable.
And that just made alarm bells go off in my head. I said, I do, but the public hasn't seen it. The public doesn't know what's on it because you changed it. And then she became quiet. So you have to look at this and know that the Department of Health in Hawaii is not saying they made the electronic PDF. And that's very important because from a statutory perspective, the only agency that has the authority to make a state birth certificate is the Department of Health in Hawaii. They have the statutory authority to make an electronic file. Hmm. They can do it, but they're saying, without saying it, we didn't do it. That's a problem. That's a fraud. That's a fraudulent document then right on its face.
Well, it's interesting because I heard that there's somebody in custody of interest on the birth certificate, and let's hypothetically say that somebody gets charged here with something, whether it's, you know, fraud or documents or forgery or whatever. Now, couldn't you subpoena and depose these people under oath? And if they were, and I would think that would be the next place to go. I mean, unless we have to get, do we have to get a congressional investigation started to do that?
That's what you're going to need. You're going to need a congressional investigation. You're going to need a special prosecutor, someone who isn't beholden to the Department of Justice, to look into this. Because our scope of authority is very limited here. We are representing, obviously, looking into on behalf of the people of Maricopa County. But this goes to a nationwide problem. And to get the kind of investigative authority that would be required for this to go to different states and demand things, you're going to need a federal investigation.
So it sounds like we need to. It's not going to go away, in my opinion.
No, it's not going to go away. And, you know, I've had some people, you know, tell me things that they've talked to congressional leaders. I can't validate this, but I've heard it a number of times where there's some congressional leaders that are waiting for an administration change to look into this. And I can understand that because you're going to get so much resistance that it's going to be virtually impossible to do this before the election.
Right.
I've also heard that there are those in the powers that know that it's wrong. They know that there's a problem here, but they're overly concerned about the constitutional crisis that would come down as a result of this, and they would just rather beat him at the ballot box and have him gallop off into the sunset.
Yeah, but boy, I'll tell you.
You can beat him at the ballot.
Well, not only that, I mean, we're not in a constitutional crisis now. We might have somebody in the White House that's, is issuing executive fiat and making treaties and signing things.
Well, yeah,
and
how much of our rights and liberties are we going to lose in the process don't get on board here?
Yeah, that's not a crisis.
I agree with you 100%. I don't understand the thinking. I'm the one that, you know, like Sheriff Arpaio, it's the rule of law. You know, you're blatantly now in our face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're dancing a dance that we don't want to dance to anymore.
Well, because the next step is revolt. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you can't get anybody to follow the law, you've got tyranny, pure and simple. And at what point in time do they cross the lines far enough to where you have to revolt in order to get these guys under control?
Well, and here's the problem that you have with that, though. The very powers that are doing this, at any indication of that revolt, will turn their power on you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where this thing gets really, really dicey.
Yeah.
And if there's a way to do it to avoid that at all costs,
I agree. We have to pursue. We have to pursue every avenue, and that has to be the absolute last quarter resort, no question in my mind. Because you know nobody wins in something like that, and then that gives them an excuse to take more power, like you say. So I think we got
to
go to a break.
Yeah, we got to go to a break. So hold on there, Mike, and we'll be right back. Sure. This is 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', life's a doodah, man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' home.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Hey, Papa Bear, are you really going to go up in that thing?
Yep. I thought that piling in a hot air balloon would be a great way to experience that light feeling you get when you eat one of Black Bear Diner's salads. They're so light and crispy and delicious.
Yeah, but they're our salads, Bob. They're huge. Seriously, you can't pilot that thing. Hop out of that basket and let's go get your favorite salad, the cashew chicken Caesar.
But what if I want a taco salad, a Cobb, a chef salad, a Chinese chicken salad, or ooh, the grilled southwestern steak salad? It's the perfect pairing of cool, crisp vegetables and delicious manly steak.
You can have that too, Bob. Just turn that burner off and deflate that thing before you hurt yourself.
Good thing you saved me, Sugar Bear. I'm kind of afraid of heights.
Oh, brother.
Enjoy the lighter side this summer with generous salads and wraps, specially made for you at Black Bear Diner.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
People are always telling us about how well they were treated at Crown Motors. Rebecca Rogers of Reading says, "The people at Crown were amazing. No pressure, lots of choices. I wouldn't go anywhere else to buy a car." Thanks, Rebecca. I'm going to keep reading these stories from time to time because I love to share the great experiences people have at Crown Motors. So you keep writing and I'll keep reading. So come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Got to nail those codes, it takes time to pick a place to go. Just keep trucking all home.
Yeah, we're just going to keep trucking on here because it's what
we
do.
Yeah, we're going to have to here to keep our freedoms and everything.
It's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll.
Yeah, we love it that we're able to do it, you know, on this radio station and get this out. Hey, Mike, I know that there's petitions and stuff like that going around out there, but what could people really do to help this out and to get the information out? What would be one of our next steps?
Well, I know that there's people scattered throughout the country. I know that there's ads now going in the Washington Times on the back page, making sure that they get there because it'll be in every representative's desk. It'll be on there. But I think the biggest thing you can do is if you can get copies on YouTube, you can find our press conference videos. If you could just hyperlink it to as many people as you can and just get that message out there, because what the media has tried to do in this blackout is have this thing die in Arizona.
Right.
Yeah.
They're trying to contain it, and they're trying to run the clock. And I'm going to tell you, they're successful.
Do you think it would be okay? Do you think it would be okay to take that last conference and copy it to DVD and distribute it as well?
Oh, it's open for anyone to do. If we had the financial resources, we would do it.
Absolutely.
That's the problem. It's, you know, everything we do is by donation. We're not compensated for the work that we've done.
Right. That was one of my other questions. If somebody wants to donate, what would be the best place for them, or how would it be the best way to go about getting money to you to help support your cause?
The best place to go is to our website. It's www.mcsocct.org. So it's an abbreviation for Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Cold Case Posse.org. We have a donation button there. We also have, we don't have the most recent press conference up there yet, but all other information, all other video that we've taken, other press conferences from March 1st can be viewed at that site. And, you know, a $5, $10 donation for us goes a long way because every dollar we use is for investigational purposes. We don't take compensation.
Let's post those links on some websites, too, to get that.
Yeah, we need to get it out there more for you to kind of help you out. I know that you guys do everything on your own time and your own dime, so.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so.
No matter what the media says or how they try to slant that for you.
Yeah, so I'm kind of out of breath after this. I'm trying to think of some actually intelligent questions to ask. You know, I get so mad when I start going over this issue, I can't even hardly contain myself because, you know, it's just over the top. Where does it stop? I mean, you know, Fast and Furious, the eligibility. On this eligibility, I guess they've also got a nationwide campaign on the media spots going out now. I haven't seen them, but I hear they're on YouTube and going across as well on this eligibility. So.
Yeah, that's one thing we got going for us, and to help Mike out is the internet because they can't stall us on that.
I think if we didn't have the internet, Mike, I don't think this would. I think that their plan would actually have worked on this blackout because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but anymore I can't hardly watch mainstream TV as far as the news because I call it the no news news. We don't get any news anymore. It's all fluff.
You get fabrication.
Yeah,
and that's the same problem that's happened in our criminal, prosecution system. You're entitled to a defense, but you're not entitled to a fabrication. And people go in there and they make up stories as defenses, even if they're not supported. And the element that's used goes back to the beginning of time. It's doubt.
Right.
They believe if they can create enough doubt, that the issue goes away, and we're being trained to rely on the 30-second news snippet or the 5-paragraph article, right, believing that they have sifted this information and brought us only the most pertinent parts of it to make a decision.
That's why I think the internet is starting to change the rules of the game because now you can check your sources. You know, if you get that before, because everybody thought that the mainstream media, well, we always have the left-right thing and, you know, the fair and balanced and all that garbage. But, you know, that's what it is. You're right. Most of it's garbage. I've got out-and-out clips of guys on this particular issue, absolutely lying about the Social Security number. I'm not going to mention any names, but saying that the Social Security number came from Connecticut and that Obama's father spent 2 years there in Connecticut, and that's how you explain the Social Security. Well, that's an out-and-out lie. That's not something you can make a mistake on. I mean, he was either in Connecticut or he wasn't, and he never was. So, I mean, that was the deal-breaker for me. After that, I was like, really? So they're just going to out-and-out lie? You can't trust any of them anymore.
No, and you have to realize, too, getting a birth certificate from the state of Hawaii, we have a report from the Inspector General of the United States talking about in the year 2000 the rampant problem with fraudulent birth certificates.
Yeah.
And a fraudulent birth certificate becomes a breeder document to legitimate documents. So you can get a fraudulent birth certificate and then go get a Social Security card, a driver's license, a pilot license, a firearms license.
Yeah, it just totally opens the door.
You could get jobs in the government with that document.
Yeah, and that, I mean, gee, if we're worried about,
I guess that's what's happened here.
Well, if we're worried about Homeland Security, I mean, gee, I wonder if any of, you know, we're always worried about these terrorists that are coming over here. Gee, I wonder if that would occur at all, you know? I mean, what about our borders?
Well,
yeah.
You know what? The picture I want to leave in your listeners' minds is view Hawaii now as the new border state.
Yep.
Because it never occurred to me until I got back from there that it is a border state, even though it's like a pimple in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's a border state now because however people can get there, if they have a document waiting for them, once they get there, now they have a document that says, I'm a United States citizen.
Wow.
And they can board an aircraft and get wherever they want to go.
Well, it seems like that's what the powers want, that be want. They want, they want a global system. They don't care about sovereignty. I mean, the whole reason for this eligibility on the president issue is to keep foreign influences away from our commander-in-chief of the army. And right. These guys don't care. I mean, they think that we should be borderless and we should just put all of our sovereignty in the hands of a few world government officials is what it sounds like to me.
Well, I tell you, you really have a handle on it. I'm not going to elaborate on what I'm going to say next.
Yep.
But during our research here, I came across information that supports the exact theory that you just put forward.
Wow.
I've got 3,000 pages that I had a college, a university, copy off for us that talks. Stuff was written in the 1940s and 50s, and I was holding documents from as early as 1913.
Oh, my goodness.
1940, 1950, they were almost prophetic.
Wow.
It is like the manifestation of what this individual was writing about then is happening today.
Wow.
And it is a borderless society.
And we have to stand up and say enough's enough here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that people really need to get educated on, and this is something that's almost becoming a passion for me now. You have to understand the effects of treaties and,
right.
and the negative ramifications they have on our constitutional rights.
Well, speaking of treaties, just a short thing. The UN treaty on the gun small arms treaty was not going to be signed.
Yeah.
Got put down because enough pressure got put on the Senate. And so, you know, just wanted to throw that in there on the subject of treaties. So.
Well, you know, that incident, that godforsaken incident that just happened in the movie theater, you know, I think the public is realizing something that law enforcement knew for a very long time. The founding fathers knew. An unarmed citizenry, you were like fish in a barrel.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, it's all about.
Can't have it anymore.
It's all about protecting yourself from government tyranny. It has nothing to do with sportsmen's and
no.
hunting and all that.
Foreign or domestic.
Right. It was about the fact that their own government, the British government, and a lot of people that went to school now don't realize that it was our own government that was attacking us from Britain, and that was why we designed the Constitution, was to protect us from our own government getting out of control, and that's the Second Amendment. That's what it's about, and not all this other crap.
Well, you're right. And, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, and I can tell you this, I was a cop in Jersey. When I came out to Arizona the first time, about 20 minutes after being here, the first thing I saw was a guy on a Harley Davidson with the biggest .357 Magnum on his hip riding the streets. And I was in shock. Because growing up on the East Coast, the only people that had guns were cops and bad guys.
Right.
And I didn't realize that you can go into a grocery store at that time, the Smitty's, buy a head of lettuce and a .45 automatic in the same store.
Hey, Mike, we're going to get cut off here. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. It was so good to have you on.
Yeah, we want to have you back whenever we can get you, Mike.
Yeah, I wish we had more time, but we don't. And thanks again, sir, for all your help
you.
And information.
And all you do. Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate you out there sticking to your guns, and let's just keep this thing going. It's not going to go away.
Well, I want to thank you for giving us a voice. Thank you very much.
All right.
Say hello to the sheriff for us, too.
Yeah.
I'll do that for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Day.
You, too. All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media. And I think we're totally out of time.
We got
10 seconds.
Joram Corsi should be coming on the show. I think we're going to have Bill Chappelle up here pretty soon running for Board of Supervisors. I think we're out of time. If you're a born and original, don't die a copy.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. He's suspected of shooting 3 people dead in southern Pennsylvania, then taking his young daughter across state lines. Kevin Cleaves was captured last night near Youngstown, Ohio.
Local police spotted his car in a motel parking lot near the interstate when he drove off.
Turned into the Walgreens parking lot with the assistance of the law enforcement task force able to get him out of the vehicle without any incident.
Austin Town Police Chief Bob Gavalier says the man's 4-year-old daughter was in the back seat. She is okay.
And Jim Michaels from Fox radio station WKBN in Youngstown. On the first full day of competition at the London Olympics, it's the first game for an American team favored to win gold. Live in London, Fox News Radio's Emily Wither.
The U.S. women's basketball team playing Croatia now. The score is 9-0 to the U.S. A few surprises in the swimming. Michael Phelps barely making it into the 400 individual medley. He'll face his teammate rival Ryan Lochte in the finals.